Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Let's look in Acts chapter 9, and I want to talk with you today about something I call a head-on collision with God. In Acts chapter 9, we're reading about Saul, who eventually becomes Paul. And let's just begin reading at verse 1. Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What I call this, I call it a head-on collision with God. You see, Paul, we call him Paul because that's the way we know him. You know, long after he got saved, his name was changed from Saul to Paul. Paul was living life blamelessly and with a good conscience toward God. When Paul is talking to the Philippians about his life, he mentions that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews and a Pharisee. And he said about himself, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is the law, blameless. Now that's a pretty good man. In his own defense, at his own trial, he says to the high priest, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. So at the time that Paul is breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, he's doing it with a good conscience. He thought that what he was doing was right. Only the trouble is, he was dead wrong. You know, even after witnessing the preaching and the death of Stephen, and even after the pricks to his conscience, Paul never was convinced that he was doing wrong. So you know what he needed? He needed a head-on collision with God. And he had that collision right here on the road to Damascus. You see, when the Lord appeared to Paul, Paul asked him one question, the first question that is, Who art thou, Lord? You see, because at the time he didn't realize that he was talking to Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. So the Lord replied, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now you see, from the moment of this head-on collision with God, everything in Paul's life changed. Paul got saved. He left his old job. He was called to preach. He became an apostle. And he became the author of 14 books in the New Testament. He went from persecuting and killing Christians to loving and feeding them and sacrificing himself so that many, many more lost souls could come to Christ, both Jews and Gentiles. You know, the question is, what led to this dramatic change in Paul's life? And you know what it was? It was his head-on collision with God. God timed this episode on the road to Damascus perfectly. God waited until he was out of Jerusalem. He waited until he was on the road to Damascus. He even waited until he was near Damascus. And then he got him. And I want you to ask yourself a question. Do you realize that you might need a head-on collision with God? Do you realize that the way you're living your life and the way you've been living your life, that you are on a collision course with God? In other words, you think everything is hunky-dory. You think everything is roses. I'm not sure that you could honestly say, like Paul, that you're living your life blamelessly as it concerns the law, or even that you have a good conscience toward God like he did. But you're on a path where you think what you're doing is okay with you and okay with everybody else and certainly okay with God. And I'm here to suggest to you, you might be on a collision course with God. And if you are on a collision course with God, I'm going to tell you what a collision course with God or a collision with God will do for you. You see, it's important for you to understand it. That way, when it happens, you get the most out of it. A head-on collision with God will, first of all, reveal who he really is. You see, for Paul to be doing what Paul was doing before he got saved, he had to have the wrong view of God. His view of God was a view that he got through his Pharisees' eyes. You know, God to him was a master to be served according to the law, and therefore Jesus' followers were to be exterminated because they were professing a liberty from the law, a completion of the law in Jesus Christ. I mean, in Paul's mind, there was no way in the world that God had manifested himself in the flesh of Jesus Christ. There's just no way. There was no way that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Not where he came from, not who he was, not how he was born, not how he lived, not who he followed, not who followed him. None of that. You know, when Paul saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, in this appearance, at this time, he knew right then that Jesus Christ had to be God, because he was talking now to the risen Savior. And as far as Paul was concerned, that whole thing about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ had to be a hoax. He just didn't believe it. But once he saw Jesus, and once he talked with Jesus, and once he knew he was talking to the risen Savior, then he understood something from all of that training that he had as a Pharisee. The resurrection of Christ is the hope of Israel. All that promised back there in Ezekiel chapter 37 regarding the resurrection of Israel hinged on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It all came clear to him in a moment of time. Now, I realize there was a lot of studying yet that Paul had to do, and a lot of things that he had to put together, and a lot that Jesus Christ had to reveal to him. But hey, he realized right now, I now know who God really is. You see, not only did Paul realize that Jesus was God, the Messiah, but he also immediately realized God's immense goodness, God's immense mercy, God's holiness, God's long-suffering. Why? Because he let Paul live. You know, any other God would have killed Paul for what he was doing. He would have just stopped him, killed him, and said, that's it. And God didn't do that. He let him live. And not only that, but he put him in the ministry. You see, Paul not only realized that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, but Paul realized, hey, God is good, God is merciful, God is holy, God is long-suffering. Look what he's done for me. You see, in a head-on collision with God, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find that God is magnified in a way that is far above your current opinion of him. You're going to see God in a way that you've never seen him before. God is going to be holier. God is going to be gooder. God is going to be more merciful. than you've ever seen him before. You're going to see his righteousness as incomparable to anything any man could ever do. You're suddenly going to know God in a way that you've never known him before. And that's one of the great benefits of a head-on collision with God, is that you need to see him for who he is and not for who you think he is. There's a major difference in those two things. The second thing that's going to happen to you if you have a head-on collision with God is that in a head-on collision with God, you're going to find out who you really are. You see, the head-on collision with God reveals who he really is, but then it also reveals who you really are. Paul had no idea, not at least up until this time, that the followers of Jesus were the true children of God, and that all he had was a religion. And as a religion, all he had was hell to look forward to. That he was nothing more than a religious, hell-bound sinner. No matter that he was blameless, no matter that he was functioning in a good conscience toward God, he was a religious, hell-bound sinner. Until he could see how wrong he was, he couldn't see completely how right Jesus is. You know, in a head-on collision with God, what God's going to do is that God's going to let you see his perspective on your life. That's what you're going to see. You are going to suddenly take the view from the mountaintop, and you're going to look down on your life through the eyes of a holy, righteous God, and you are going to see what you heretofore didn't think was such wickedness through the eyes of a holy God. And you know what? You're going to see yourself the way that God sees you and not the way that you've been looking at yourself. And when you see yourself the way that God has been looking at you, you are going to be convinced that you are the worst sinner that ever lived. Paul said about himself, he said that he was the chiefest of sinners, of whom I am chief. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. And in one place he says, I was blameless. In another place, I was living in good conscience toward God. And yet he says, when he compares himself to the Lord and talks about Christ dying for sinners, of whom I am chief. You're going to see yourself in a way you've never seen yourself before in a head-on collision with God. And you need to see yourself from his perspective. It's the only way that you're ever going to find out what you really are. Because right now your view is tainted by others' opinions of yourself or your opinion of yourself. And those attitudes are not godly. In a head-on collision with God, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see who God really is. In a head-on collision with God, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see who you really are. And I'll tell you something else. In a head-on collision with God, you're going to humble yourself before God. A head-on collision with God will humble you before God. That's right. Oh, Paul went from that vicious persecutor of Christians to the humble servant of Christ on the road to Damascus. I mean, when Paul realized who Jesus really was and what Paul really was by comparison, you know what the Bible says? He trembled. In Acts chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, and he trembling and astonished said, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I mean, he needed to have this collision, and then he needed to humble himself before God. And when he did, he said, look, I don't care what my masters have sent me down here to do. I don't care what I came down here to do. I want to know what you want me to do. And you know what? When the Lord showed him what to do, he said, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. He went into the city, and he waited until God told him what he must do. He did just what the Lord told him to do. Now listen, when you have a head-on collision with God, you no longer concern yourself with imposing your will on God. You want to find out what God's will is, and you want to do it, and you want to abandon your own will. That is when you've had a real head-on collision with God. You only want to know and you only want to do His will. Why? Because you don't want to mess up your life anymore like you already have. I remember when I had my head-on collision with the Lord, I was like, here I am stuck in this ditch. And that whole episode with the Lord took about 3 hours, way back in September of 1986. And I'm telling you, when I finished that deal, I prayed and I told the Lord, if I wake up in the morning, and I'm talking, this is 3 o'clock in the morning. And I know it may sound dramatic to you today to hear me say that so many years later, but I honestly did not think that I would live through the night. I didn't see how God could allow a man to live through the night. When you come face to face with God and you really realize how great He is, any little sin you've done is huge, and when you've done big sins, they're just massive. And I thought to myself, there's no way I'll live to see the daylight. But I told the Lord, and I wasn't trying to be melodramatic. I said, if I live, if I wake up in the morning, we're going your way, not mine. And I gave Him the reins. You know why? Because I humbled myself before Him. And you will too in a head-on collision, because you realize He's great big, He's righteous, you're very small, and you're wrong. And if you see Him for what He really is, and you see yourself for what you are, you're just going to be like a little mouse. And you'll humble yourself before Him. And you need to. But that's not all. In a head-on collision with God, you know what else you'll do? You'll stop in your tracks. He will stop you in your tracks. A head-on collision with God will stop you cold. God put the brakes on Paul. Paul was going over there with threatenings and slaughter, and he had letters against those that were in Damascus. Boy, he was going to find them and bring them in. Bring them in, like the big sheriff, you know, like the posse man. God put the brakes on him. He halted him on the road to Damascus. And I'm going to tell you what, that was the end of Saul the persecutor. At that moment, he became Paul the preacher. I realize his name hadn't changed, not until later. But boy, he was not Saul the persecutor, he was Paul the preacher. Now, you got to realize something. There are a number of people that have had a head-on collision with God. They didn't all come out exactly the same way that Paul did. God stopped Balaam. If you go back there to Numbers chapter 21, 22, 23, 24, right in there, and 25, God stopped Balaam, stopped him right in his tracks, wedged him in where there was no other place that he could turn. That old donkey fell down beneath Balaam because that angel was standing there, and that donkey got scared. Balaam didn't realize that donkey was saving his life, but he was. And God stopped Balaam right there and made sure that Balaam had no way to turn. Right there. And I'm telling you, in a head-on collision with God, pow, He's going to stop you. God let that prodigal son run completely out of his own resources, and let that prodigal son run completely out of all of his cockiness. And then, in a moment of humility, God dealt with him. That poor old prodigal said, man, the servants in my father's house have it better than I do. I'll go back and I'll become a servant. That's better than what I'm doing here. Let me tell you something. You're going along the tracks of your own little making, and God hadn't dealt with you harshly like that, and you think, boy, I'm getting away with this because sentence against evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of man are fully persuaded in them to do evil. I don't think I quoted that exactly right, but you know, it's from Ecclesiastes. And what he's telling you is, you know, God hadn't come down on you, so you think you're getting away with it. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. And you're going down there thinking, boy, I'm getting away with this. Hoo-hoo, hunky-dory. Everything's lovely. No, you're not. You're on a collision course with God, I hope. And let me tell you something. When you're up to no good, God will usually let you run a while, and then He'll pull the plug. Right in the middle of your disobedience, at a time when He can get your attention, where there's no coasting room. So you're just a little, your train is just sailing down the tracks. You think, boy, life is good. I'm doing so well. And I mean, you're going to hit a block. plume, that train is not going to go 1 inch further. In a head-on collision with God, you don't have any wiggle room. And that's just the way God wants it. He's going to stop you. He's going to stop you. Why? You need stopping. You need stopping. I found one of the ladies that had been praying for me after the Lord straightened up my life, and I called her to thank her. And she said, well, somebody had to do something. You needed to change. And she was right. God stopped me flat in my tracks, and he'll stop you too. But I'll tell you something else. A head-on collision with God will not only reveal who he really is and who you really are, and not only will it humble you before him and stop you in your tracks, but I'll tell you something else a head-on collision with God will do. It'll set you on a new course. In other words, you don't just come to a place where you, bam, hit the block and that's the end of it. No, God intends to stop you in your tracks so he can set you on a new course. It's almost like a kid playing with one of those little electric trains that he's got two tracks. And it's like the Lord reaches down there, stops, you know, turns the power off, grabs you, picks you up, turns you in another direction, sets you out on another track, turns the power back on, gets you running another direction. You see, God didn't just stop Paul from persecuting Christians. That would have been good enough. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Listen, if God had just stopped him, that would have been enough. But he didn't just do that. He had a plan. He chose Paul for the ministry. He took Paul out of his old life and gave him a brand new life. Paul went from inflicting the pain to receiving the pain. He was threatening and slaughtering, and you read his testimony all through, particularly like books like Corinthians. Man, he's getting beat, stoned, whipped, imprisoned, shipwrecked, starved out. Anything bad that could happen to a person was happening to Paul. He went from dishing it out to taking it. He went from putting out the fire to fanning the flames. Listen, when you have a head-on collision with God, you know what the Lord expects? He expects you to repent, and then he expects you to change course. Like I said, I gave the reins to God, and God took this old horse and turned it in another direction, gave me something to do that's good. Listen, God has a plan for you, and that plan that he has for you is very different than the plan you had for yourself, I'll tell you. He intends for you to get on track with his plan. When? The moment he stops you from going any further down your own path. That's right. When you have a head-on collision with God, you know, your train's not going to be going full speed in the opposite direction, not the moment that he stops you. But what he's going to do is going to set you down on a new course, and the first thing he's going to do is he's going to repair the damage to your train. You understand? You're going to sit a little while he just brushes off the dust, repairs the damaged metal, refuels the car, gets a new load, puts on some new cars. You understand? And then he's going to start chug, chug, chug out of the repair center, chug, chug, chug at a slow speed out on the track, and then little by little you're going to build up some speed and it's going to start going down another way. I've watched people who've had a head-on collision and then they just jump track and, woo, here we go. I'm going to go run just as fast God's direction as I was running, you know, the moment he stopped me. And it doesn't usually happen like that. You have to go through a period of cleansing and renewal and rehabilitation and, you know, getting settled in on your course and learning that Bible, and then you've got something to do for him. Listen, on your new course, God will change you into what he wants you to be, not what you want it to be. But you got to remember something. Some people, like Balaam, they have this collision with God, and you know what they do? They veer off the track. Why? Because of a shallow, carnal, hasty repentance. Too big a hurry. Too big to get going in another direction. And let me tell you something. When God catches you, you want to make sure that your repentance is not shallow. You're not trying to make it look good for everybody else around you. You want to make sure it's right with God. You don't want it to be carnal, just feeling it in your flesh. Oh, I'm so sorry. You want it to be spiritual and deep and permanent. That's right. Spiritual repentance, deep repentance, and permanent repentance. You don't ever want to travel this way that you've been going again. And let me tell you something. When you have a head-on collision with God, you don't ever want to veer off that track. Not like Balaam did. Not like others have done. You know why? Because it's going to be worse for you later than if you had never met up with God on that collision. Saul ran into God, I'm talking about in the Old Testament, on a couple of occasions. And he kept on going his own stubborn, wicked way. And it really ended up bad for Saul. Let me tell you something now. Real, spiritual, deep, permanent repentance is the key to turning away from who you were and becoming what God really wants you to be. So let me tell you something. Today, you may, here, I don't know who I'm preaching to. You may be on a collision course with God. And if you are, then you know what's going to happen now. You've seen it. You're going to hit. And when you do, you're going to find out who God really is. And you're going to find out who you really are. And you're going to end up, you better, humbling yourself before God. You're going to stop in your tracks and you're going to get set on a new course. It may very well be that you have just now had that collision with God. And so before you get up and go making it look good to everybody else, why don't you get into a real, spiritual, deep, permanent repentance with God and find that new course that he wants you to get on, and get on that course and let him clean you up, and then chug on out of that repair center where you are and get going on doing something for God. All right? Or it may be that you had that head-on collision sometime back and you are now on this new course, but you were thinking about going back the way you were. Let me tell you something. Don't you dare do that. You stay the course. You go right along the way you're going now. Because, listen, God's plans are much better than your plans ever were. And God bless you when you recover from the crash.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.